Chapter 3. I hadn't been back to the Forensic Institute on West Harrison since that mess with Necromancers R Us nearly 2 years before. It wasn't an unpleasant-looking place, despite the fact that it was the repository for former human beings awaiting examination. It was in a little corporate park, very clean, with green lawns and neat bushes and fresh-painted lines on the spaces in the parking lots. The buildings themselves were quietly unassuming, functional, and tidy. It was one of those places that show up a lot in my nightmares. It wasn't like I'd ever been a fan of viewing corpses, but a man I knew had been caught up in the magical crossfire and wound up an animated super corpse who had nearly torn my car apart with his bare hands. I hadn't come back since then. I had better things to do than revisit scenes like that. But once I was there and parked and heading for the doors, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, and I went in without hesitation. This was Molly's first visit. At my request, she had ditched much of the facial jewelry and wore an old Cubs baseball hat over her peroxide locks. Even so, she didn't exactly cut a respectable businesslike figure, but I was content with damage control. Of course, my outfit barely qualified for business casual, and the heavy leather coat in the too warm weather probably gave me a distinctive aura of eccentricity, or at least it would have if I made more money. The guard sitting at the desk where Phil had been murdered was expecting me, but not Molly, and he told me she would have to wait. I said I'd wait, too, until Butters verified her. The guard looked sullen about being forced to expend the enormous effort it took to punch an intercom number. He growled into the phone, grunted a few times, then thumped a switch and the security door buzzed. Molly and I went through. There are several examination rooms at the morgue, but it's never hard to figure out which one Butters is inside. You just listen for the polka. I homed in on a steady oompa oompa of a tuba until I could pick up the strains of clarinet and accordion skirling along with it. Exam room 3. I rapped briefly on the door and opened it without actually stepping inside. Waldo Butters was bent over his desk, squinting at his computer screen, while his butt and legs shuffled back and forth in time to the polka music. He muttered something to himself, nodded, and hit the space bar on his keyboard with one elbow in time with his tapping heels without looking up at me. "Hey, Harry." I blinked. "Is that Bohemian Rhapsody?" "Yankovic, man's a freaking genius," he replied. "Give me a sec to power down before you come all the way in." "No problem," I told him.
"You've worked with him before?" Molly asked quietly.
"Uh-huh," I said. "He's clued." Butters waited until his printer started rattling, then shut down the computer and walked to the printer to pick up a couple of pages and staple them together. Then he dropped the pages onto a small stack of them and bound them with a large rubber band.
"Okay, that should do it,"
he turned to face me with a grin. Butters was an odd little duck. He wasn't much taller than Murphy, and she probably had more muscle than he did. His shock of black hair resembled nothing so much as an explosion in a steel wool factory. He was all knees and elbows, especially in the surgical greens he was wearing. His face was lean and angular, his nose beaky, and his eyes were bright behind the prescription glasses.
"Harry," he said, offering his hand. "Long time no see. How's the hand?"
I traded grips with him. Butters had long, wiry fingers, very precise and not at all weak. He wasn't anyone's idea of dangerous, but the little guy had guts and brains. "Only 3 months or so, and not too bad." I held my gloved left hand up and wiggled all the fingers. My ring and pinky fingers moved with little trembles and twitches, but by God they moved when I told them to. The flesh of my left hand had practically melted in an unanticipated conflagration during a battle with a scourge of vampires. The doctors had been shocked that they didn't have to amputate, but told me I'd never use it again. Butters had helped me work out a regimen of physical therapy, and my fingers were mostly functional, though my hand still looked pretty horrible. But even that had begun to change, at least a little. The ugly little lumps of scar tissue and flesh had begun to fade, and my hand looked considerably less like a melted wax model than it had before. The nails had grown back in, too.
"Good,"
Butters said. Good. You still playing guitar?
I hold it. It makes noise. Might be a little generous to call it playing. I gestured to Molly. Waldo Butters, this is Molly Carpenter, my apprentice.
Apprentice, huh?
Butters extended an amiable hand.
Pleased to meet you, he said.
So does he turn you into squirrels and fishes and stuff, like in The Sword and the Stone?
Molly sighed. I wish. I keep trying to get him to show me how to change form, but he won't.